This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 18 for the first reading. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Since he himself, Jesus, has gone through suffering and temptation, he is able to do what? Help us. When? When we're being tempted. Now, maybe the enemy has never attacked you in this way, but he's attacked me in this way. The enemy said, if you really are a good Christian, you shouldn't be tempted in this area or that area, or to say this or to think that. If you were really close to God, you wouldn't be tempted to think this way or act this way. I want to remind you this morning that Jesus was tempted in all manners. Hello? Such as we are, yet without sin. Your level of maturity and rightness before God, righteousness before God, does not limit the realm of temptation. In fact, I believe the closer you get to serving God 100%, the more opposition you will face. The Word says something like this: think it not strange when you face fiery trials. What are those trials? Tests. Now the Word does say to count it all joy. And it's not to carry a sign around that says I'm joyful, though you're a grump. It's not that. It is to actually live a hilarious life of trust in God. That's where the joy is. The joy is not in what you're facing. It's not that I enjoy what I'm going through. I enjoy the fact that I'm a son of the Most High God, and regardless of what I have come to, God is going to take me through and take you through. And so I have joy because I am a child of God. Anyone still with me? So temptation is not an unusual part of the Christian's life. Now, I'm going to throw something out here, and someone may get all shook up when I say this. Temptation is a normal part of a godly person's life, but participation in the temptation must not be a part of the Christian's life. Temptation, yes. Participation, no. I'm being tempted. Shut up, Satan. I'm being tempted because you know I'm a child of God. I'm being tested because I'm walking with Jesus. I'm under attack in my mind, my body, my soul. I'm under attack. Maybe my family's under attack. Maybe my business is under attack. Maybe the world is under attack around me, but I'm under attack because I am not of this world. Jesus said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Who? They who? I'm going to start with demons. The demons hated Jesus. People are inspired and they are filled with demonic spirits and demonic presence. And if there's hate being demonstrated in opposition, it's because you're a child of God. That's how you can count it all joy. You can count it all joy because you can say, I used to be the same thing, but I'm not anymore. So we're tempted, but temptation and participation are not the same thing. So what does the church do when it does not understand the power of God to set us free? That it comes up with a theology that says everyone faces temptation, everyone lives in participation. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that's the target for any one of our lives. Now, none of us are perfect like God. But none of us should be wicked like Satan or give place to the enemy in any area of our life. And so when someone says, well, we all sin in word, thought, and deed every day, it sort of sounds like you're planning on it. How about having a different saying? I walk with Jesus and live in the Spirit in word, thought, and deed every day. Hello? Are you a child of God every day? As a child of God, does God have any word for our mind? The word, He renews our mind. He works on our tongue. Works on my tongue. He'll work on your tongue if He lives in your house. Word, thoughts, and deeds. I believe the devil loves it when the church says, you're going to sin in word, thought, and deed every day, and so don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So, no, we're not going to worry about it. We're going to cast it out. In Jesus' name. We're going to cast it down in Jesus' name. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, He doesn't convict us so that we can make excuses. He convicts us to deliver us. Hello? Might have to get Rob up here to give his deep theology he just hit me with this morning. It was good. Okay, so since He Himself has gone through suffering and temptation, He is able to help us. Say, help us. When we are being tempted, He's able to help us. If the Lord is able to help us, then why wouldn't we want the help? I want the help. Why wouldn't we want the help? He's able to help us. Now, this goes a little further than this. And I'm going to back up in just a minute because we're going to go a little further back in chapter 2. So just keep your Bible open if you have it. Chapter 3. I'm going to chapter 3 now. And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are bound for heaven, I like that part, think about this Jesus whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. So this morning, as I was looking at this and studying over this, and I thought the topic, the one-liner, since he himself has gone through suffering and temptation, he's able to help us. That is a powerful one-liner. But then as I looked at this challenge to us to fix our minds on thinking about Jesus. Thinking about Jesus. That's reading, I don't know if it was Reader's Digest, are those even still out? I don't know. They used to have Reader's Digest. I believe it may have been a Reader's Digest. There was a little article that was about how many people who leave the road run into telephone poles. And I thought, well, that sounds kind of interesting. Because if you ran off the road, why would you run into a telephone pole? I mean, that's the last thing I'd want to run into. Maybe a puddle or something, or run into a ditch, maybe, but not a telephone pole. Why would anybody run into a telephone pole? And it was given the statistics when they talked to the people, they said, what were you looking at when you left the road? And they almost all said, I was looking at a telephone pole. If we can fix our eyes on Jesus, and if we can fix our thoughts on Him, and if we can establish His Word as our foundation, then we're going to have a much better opportunity to end up with His help. Do you see it? It's not deep, really. So think about this Jesus. Think about this Jesus. Think about this Jesus who was tempted and suffered because He was tempted and suffered. He is able to help us. Last week we talked about His deity, His humanity. That the only one that could provide a way of escape for us was one like us. Had to become flesh. Human. We looked at that last week. We're going to back up into chapter 2 just for a moment. Stay with us. Verse 17. In fact, I'll go to verse 16. I like it too. Verse 16, chapter 2, Hebrews. We all know that Jesus came to help the descendants of Abraham, not to help the angels. Oh, people will say, oh, why don't you just be an angel? Because I'm not an angel. I'm a human. Right? Hello. Jesus didn't come to help the angels. He came to help the humans. Therefore, it was necessary for Jesus to be in every respect like us. You can say, just like me. Like us. Every respect. His brothers and sisters, so that He could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Remember last week we talked about the problems with the shepherds? And how God had a word against the shepherds, and how God held the shepherds responsible, and how God said, I'm going to do something myself. I will come and be a shepherd to my people. Yes, here it is. We look at a merciful and faithful high priest before God so that He could be our merciful high priest. He could then offer a sacrifice. Jesus offered a sacrifice. We know that, don't we? So he offered what as a sacrifice? His life. He then could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world, the sins of the people. When John saw Jesus from a distance, John 1:29, he referred to him as the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Now, since he himself has gone through suffering and temptation, he is able to help us when we are being tempted. And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are bound for heaven, think about this Jesus. I want you to go with me to Isaiah 53. You know this passage. Isaiah 53. I want you to just think for a couple minutes this morning with me about the suffering and temptation. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? To whom will the Lord reveal His saving power? Verse 2. My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, sprouting from a root in dry and sterile ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about His appearance, nothing to attract us to Him. Talking about the sacrifice made for us so He can help us. He was despised and rejected. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterest grief. We turned our backs on Him and looked the other way when He went by. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses He carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God for His own sins. But He was, verse 5, isn't it powerful? He was wounded and crushed for our sin. He was wounded by our transgressions. He was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. Peace. Hebrews chapter 4 is going to talk about peace. That there is still peace. There was a promised land, a peace that God offered Israel. And the first group that's delivered, they don't make it in, most of them. But there is peace still. We're going to see a little in our chapter today about why they didn't enter peace. But what He did is not only to redeem us, but it is to give us a piece of His peace. Actually, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isn't that kind of a nice picture? He's King of Peace. He's Ruler of Peace. When the Scripture says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts by faith, it is saying, recognize that there is an enemy, a devil, a demon that wants to disrupt God's peace in your life. But God is the giver of peace, and He is the one who gives us His peace. Yes, He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped and we are healed. By His stripes we were healed. We were healed. All of us have strayed away like sheep. We've left God's paths to follow our own way. Yet the Lord laid on Him the guilt and sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet He never said a word. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears. He did not open His mouth. From prison and trial, they led Him away to His death. But who among the people realized Who among the people realized that he was dying for their sins? Not the majority. That he was suffering their punishment. That's what he did. He took my punishment. He took your punishment. He did that for us. He had done no wrong. He never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. Verse 10 is more than any of us should be able to comprehend, but it's so true that God loves us this much. He loves us. He loves us. But it was the Lord's good pleasure or plan to crush Yeshua and fill him with grief. That when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have a multitude of children. Amen. Any children of the Most High God in the house? I'm part of the multitude. Many heirs, many heirs. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's plan will prosper in his hand. Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22. For many years we had the opportunity to do passion plays. We have vision for restoration of some of those things. I would have people speak to me on occasion and say, I have a problem with your production. It's too bloody. It's too bloody. Can you imagine that anyone who is a Christ follower would think what Jesus did for us was too bloody? There is no way that we can accurately depict how cruel his death was. Oh, and I assure you, it was not the physical pain that was the greatest attack. It was the spiritual, when he took our sins upon him, which we just read of. But during those days, I came upon this passage and I was reading in Psalm 22, a messianic psalm. Psalm 22, verse 12. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in. Like roaring lions attacking their prey, they come at me with open mouths. The sacrifice in every manner, such as we are, so that he can help us. Why did this? So he can help us. Sometimes I'll hear someone say, I wish somebody just understood what I'm feeling. He does. He does. I wish someone could identify with my aloneness, with my lostness, with my pain, with my hurts, with my scars. I wish somebody could just come alongside of me and be a faithful witness to what I'm dealing with. He is. He does. Understand. Like roaring lions attacking their prey. Hundreds of years before it would happen, here it is, prophetically given. They come at me with open mouths. My life is poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. Picture of hanging on the cross long before it was practiced. Crucifixion was not practiced at this time. In fact, in many cultures, it was considered to be too cruel. And the Romans would only do it to the worst of criminals. Like roaring lions attacking their prey, they come at me with open mouths. My life is poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength is dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust, left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Listen, verse 17. I can count every bone in my body. That whip they use tore the flesh off the bone. The Holy Spirit is seeking to give us a picture of what was happening physically, which is a representation of what was happening spiritually. Because he who knew no sin became sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, he was tempted in like manner and suffered so he could help me. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They pierce my hands, my feet. I can count every bone in my body. My enemies stare at me and gloat. His enemies were not just in the natural. There were demons by the thousands that were standing there. And he could see every one of them. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my clothes among themselves, throw dice for my garments. O Lord, do not stay away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Rescue me from a violent death. Spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horns of these wild oxen.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God to me. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God.
Troubles down, eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make it whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes it come alive. Living water, the